Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs out there in MP3 files. You'll also find a host of other Bible-related material, videos and PowerPoint presentation and articles that can help you in your study of God's Word. We also have an overview of every book in the Bible on our website that you can look at and examine and get some information about. And you'll also find some information about us. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times and Bible study periods of the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You always will be warmly received. Our only desire is to help you see the need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. Last week, we began a study of asking the question, what saves us, one thing or many things? We want to continue looking at our list. Next, we want to look at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we see that we're saved by mercy. God's mercy is an important part of man's salvation, granting us a reprieve from spiritual death. Romans chapter 3:23 says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says such conduct is worthy of death. Yet we have been extended mercy by God in order that we might not have to experience that death, that we could avoid it even though that we sin through the gift of His Son. And so we're saved by mercy. Mercy is extended to us and it is part of our salvation, is the mercy of God that He extends to man, that he may be able to overcome the guilt, the death sentence that his guilt of sin produces in his life. And so God extends mercy. And so mercy is another part of that which saves us. Next, we want to read Acts 11 and verse number 4. Acts 11 and verse number 14. Verse 14, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. Now again, this is Peter reaccounting the conversion of the household of Cornelius. But what we also want to look at is Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse number 12. When Paul would write to the church at Philippi, he would commend them, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We also see in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, on the first gospel sermon that was preached by Peter and the apostles, look at Acts 2 and look at verse number 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. With many other words, he testified, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, let me ask you one other question. Remember we read last week that we need to have grace. Everybody affirms that grace is absolutely necessary in order to bring about salvation. But what about works? What about works? Remember, we mentioned this last week, that many say that if you say that you have to do anything in order to obtain salvation, you negate grace. Well, is that true? Let's look at the very passage that we read last week that talked about grace in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and let us read verse number 10. Let's look at verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice, there was work that God prepared beforehand that we shall walk in. That word walk there is manner of life. There are things that God wants us to produce in our life that is work. Now again, we're not talking about any work. Now let me make a statement here so there can be no misunderstanding. If I kept every command of God and I put them one on top of the other and I did that for my whole life, all that obedience and all that work does not save me by itself. I can't earn it. I can't merit it. And all I'm doing is demonstrating my love for God and being obedient in my faith in showing that I trust God and I believe God because I will obey God. And so we don't merit our salvation, but we do have to obey the commandments. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, I didn't say it. I didn't write it. Jesus said it himself. Man must be obedient. Romans chapter 6, we are either servants of righteousness or we're servants of sin. And that is determined by what work we do. And so, does work save us? Godly work saves us. You know, when we do those things that God's commanded us to do, that saves us by being obedient in our faith. Obedient faith is what saves. And so is man saved by works? He's saved by doing the works that God has asked him to do in his word. And that is just his obedient faith being put into action. And so, yes, man is saved by works, doing the works of God, not doing the works of the devil, not doing the works of merit, not doing the works of trying to earn salvation, but having obedient faith in the instructions, the commandments that God has given us. But let's look at one other thing that is also very controversial in the religious world. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 37. Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, after the first gospel sermon was preached, they were the end of the sermon, Peter said, and the rest of the apostles, that you have taken the Lord, this one that is both Lord and Christ, and you crucified him. You murderer. You put him to death. And in verse 37, it says they were pricked in their heart, and they asked, "Many brethren, what shall we do?" They were convicted of their sin. What did they want? They wanted to know what to do. How, we can't undo it. We've already killed him. We've done it. Now what do we do in order to get forgiven? And in Acts 2:38, the answer came. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order to receive remission of sin, and you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice, not the water, that's not what saves them. And we don't believe that, and the Bible doesn't teach that. Water doesn't save, but the water puts you in access to something it does save. What? The blood of Christ. That's what saves. The blood of Christ saves you. But how do you access the blood? You have to access it through baptism. Let's read one more verse that may help you. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. "In him we were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith, by the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your heart, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 26, Paul, recounting his conversion when he was Saul of Tarsus, says Ananias came to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." It's not water that saves, it is obedience that saves. Baptism puts man in access to the blood of Christ in order to take away his sin. That was the ransom price for sin. It was the blood of Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how do you get it? You don't get it by faith. You don't get it by grace. You don't get it in hope. And you don't get it by mercy. And you can't work it to get it. It is something that we do. It is baptism that buries us into the death of Christ. And that's why we arise in newness of life. One other point. There are 9 conversions in the book of Acts. What do all of them have in common? There are 2 things that all of them have in common. Number 1 is all of them came in contact with the word, the message. Why? Because that's God's power to save, Romans 1:16. So the word was given to them, and they heard it, and that word was aimed at their heart and convicted them of their sin. But what else is always present in all 9 conversions? The water. The waters of baptism. All of the conversions end in submission to baptism. Why? Because a man hasn't been saved until he contacts the blood of Christ. And there is nothing in the scripture except baptism that puts one in contact with the blood of Christ. And so therefore, it is necessary that man is baptized, even though that's not very popular in the religious world. The majority of mainstream denominationalism denies it. Many people you would ask would deny it. Yet every person who was converted in the New Testament, by our examples of conversion, every one of them did it. Even the Lord himself did it in Matthew chapter 3, and to fulfill all righteousness. And yet men balk at it. And so today, what have we looked at? We've looked at mercy. We've looked at works, faithful, obedient faith. And we've looked at baptism. Now, which one of those do you want to leave out? Which one of those is not important? The majority of the world says baptism is not essential. And then others say that works are not essential. That anything that you say that you do, you negate grace. But yet the scripture plainly teaches that man is saved by baptism, man is saved by faithful, obedient works, and he's saved by mercy that's extended to him by God. And last week we talked about hope, grace, and faith. So thus far we've talked about 6 things. And so which one of the 6 do you want to leave out? Which one of the 6 can you subtract from the list and still get salvation in Christ Jesus? Which one, ladies and gentlemen? Which one is not important? Which one is optional? Which one is not necessary in order to achieve the goal, and that's salvation in Christ? Which one do you want to leave out? Truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you can't leave any of them out. All of them are part of the process of us gaining salvation and remission of sin and being able to be saved by Christ. But we've just began this list. We will continue next Lord's Day.